You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspective.
Hello, Keegan.
Hello, Madigan. How are you this fine day?
I am so good, Keegan. I wanted to start today's episode with what I think is like the best news I've heard in a long time, and that is that within a month, we can record together in person.
That's correct. Yes. I had my vaccine today. I got the Johnson & Johnson, so it's a one-and-done situation. I don't have to wait another 3 weeks to get the second shot. So in
way
two
to
weeks,
rub it in, bitch.
2 weeks? No, I just mean, like, because you already have yours, so you were ahead of the game. You were
That's
ahead
true.
Of me. So, like, in 2 weeks, I'll be fully vaccinated, and then I think a week after that, you will be?
I'm going to be getting my second shot on the 23rd. So I have to wait 2 weeks. So May 7th, I will be fully vaccinated. But it's interesting. I was looking up stuff about the Moderna shot because obviously Keegan with the one and done, she got Johnson & Johnson. I got Moderna. And they were saying that 2 weeks into getting your first shot of the vaccination, you're like 80% protected from COVID. And that's just pretty cool. Like, it's fun to see the different, like, I was telling Keegan in the beginning, like, I can feel myself getting stronger every day, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just such a relief, like such a feeling of relief. And in California, the vaccine rollout, I know it's different from state to state, but California, it has been a hot mess. And you know, today being at Cal State, it was still kind of a mess.
Yeah.
And it was kind of. It was both great and also kind of like scary to see how not great to see how desperate everyone was. Great to see how much everybody wanted to get vaccinated. Like, it's great to know that people want to get vaccinated. But it is like there is this desperation from people because they haven't known how to go about it or where to go, or it's been so confusing.
Yeah.
And everybody just wants to feel that same amount of relief and protection, and they haven't been able to feel that. So it's just been kind of a wild ride. I'm so happy and relieved that I am officially done. Anthony is also officially done. I'm watching my friends get vaccinated. So it's just good to feel like we'll be able to see each other in person in a safe way.
I know.
Soon.
I know. I cannot express the relief that I feel, but also I am not a patient person. Goddess did not make me to wait. So the fact that I have to wait like a month and a half to be fully vaccinated is like actually killing me right now. Like, I've never felt more bored in the pandemic than I have right now. Like, I just feel like, especially because the weather is really nice. Like, Keegan, I don't know if you can tell, but I got really burned yesterday.
You are bright red. Yes.
It's really, compared to like what will usually happen to me, this is really not that bad. I was outside for an hour, like reading, and I forgot to put sunscreen on.
But girl, you got to be careful about that. Forgetting to put sunscreen on.
I know. My mom was always so bad at it, so I feel like I just am really bad at it because of that. But it's just so beautiful outside, and I want to be outside, but I'm so sick of being by myself outside and, like, having to read or just, like, listen to a podcast or something. Like, I miss being able to, like, meet up with my friends and have lunch and have a drink outside. There's a bar that I'm excited to go back to and get their sangria that they have, and I'm just, like, I feel like I'm making a list of all the things that I want to do, and it's almost making it harder for me to wait.
No, I understand. It is hard. The only thing that got me through, because I thought initially I had my appointment to get my first shot on April 30th. So uh-huh. I was like, I was going to be way behind a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the thing that kept me going was basically saying, like, you've done this for over a year. You can uh-huh. do this for a couple more weeks. You can do this for another month. Like, you know, you've made it this far.
I don't accept that. I don't accept that one bit. I am a person where if I have made up my mind or a decision about something, I'm like, no, we're doing this shit now and it's done. So for me, like, I know that that's true. And I'm like, I've done this for a year. But I can't rationalize that with myself and actually have that be something that will comfort me.
Well, you got to find something that's going to comfort you, because the facts are the facts.
I'm just going to be slowly imploding for a month. That's all that's going to happen.
At the end of this episode, I actually, you know, since both of us are now vaccinated, and I know that probably a lot of our listeners are getting vaccinated soon, are mm-hmm. vaccinated, or are thinking about getting vaccinated, I would like to close the episode out with a little segment I would like to call "So You're Vaccinated, Now What?" In Ooh. Which I just tell you basically what the CDC is saying, because I do think that there's a lot of confusion about what you can and can't do.
So much, yeah.
Once you're vaccinated. So we will.
I think that is a great idea. So okay, let's great. Get into the news. I want to start off because I think this is probably the most recent news, at least to come out of the U.S., and that is that Biden today has started speaking about some, I don't know if they're, yeah, some executive actions over gun control. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously a topic that we've been discussing over the last few weeks on the show. And we've also discussed the feeling of frustration and, for me at least, kind of defeat and not really knowing what to say, especially when there's no changes happening. So Biden is trying to limit something called ghost guns, which I didn't know about. So ghost guns are homemade firearms, often made from parts online that don't have traceable serial numbers. So that I do know about. Like, I'm pretty sure the kids from Columbine did that, where they would just, like, buy parts for guns and they actually built the stuff themselves. So he wants to limit that and make it easier for people to flag family members who shouldn't be allowed to purchase firearms with a series of executive actions.
Well, imagine that. Some sensible gun control measures. I mean, yeah. Like, this, I hear this and I think no reasonable person should be able to object to this. Like,
right.
To me, because to me, what that says, and I know that people will jump in and say, well, what if you just have a grudge against your ex-husband and you try and get his gun taken away or whatever? But to me, what I'm hearing when I hear that is that, like, people who have been convicted of violent crimes, people who have been convicted of domestic violence, these are people who should not have guns access to guns.
That's what I was going to say. I think that if you were to make a call and try to get revenge on an ex-husband or something, what it would be doing is it's requiring a background check and it's taking them away for a period of time to ensure that they're not in danger of hurting someone else or themselves. That's it. That's the entirety of what he's saying. So it's essentially just a way for there to be some sort of monitoring of people that shouldn't have them taken away forever, but have them taken away until they can determine if this person is a threat to themselves or others, which I think is a smart way of going about it, especially when we have such strong opinions on gun control in this country, that making sure people are aware of, like, look, we're not taking them forever, but we need to take the precautions to make sure that you're able to have this gun before we let you keep it.
Let me tell you, coming from where I come from in the country,
yeah,
this is going to cause issues.
Oh, because totally.
If they're not going, I need to take a closer look at what it means, because I think they're going to have to write this in a way that is so specific about like what constitutes. It can't just be a thing where you call and you're like, my dad shouldn't have a gun, and they come and take your dad's gun.
No,
like
okay.
It's going to have to be a thing where there are. Do you know what the like parameters are? Out of curiosity.
I'm Googling it right now because I do know a little bit, but it's a thing in some states right now. So okay. States with, apparently California is a red flag country. State. I'm looking at just a little map on Wikipedia here.
Okay.
So it says, in the United States, a red flag law is a gun control law that permits police or family members to petition a state court to order the temporary removal of firearms from a person who may present a danger to others or themselves. A judge makes the determination to issue the order based on statements and actions made by the gun owner in question. Refusal to comply with the order is punishable as a criminal offense.
Okay. So there it does seem like there is evidence, whether yes. it's like...
And then it,
their
yeah.
behavior or statements from others. Okay.
Yes. Right. And it that says, after a set time, the guns are returned to the person from whom they were seized unless another court hearing extends that period of confiscation. So this isn't a take away your guns law. This is simply a very legal precaution that's being taken for family members that fear the safety of their loved ones, essentially, which
right.
I think
yeah.
is a really good idea. And mm-hmm. I guess states that have these red flag laws already have seen a large reduction in numbers of suicides, which is really amazing. So it's not even
yes.
just mass shootings that we're thinking about. It has seriously limited the ability for people who are having crises to get their hands mm-hmm. on a dangerous weapon, which I think is really great. And just to go back to the ghost guns a little bit to explain it, he says that, because I don't know what this is, apparently they're like the kits and parts don't have to be traced when you're building these. So they want to make sure that if you're going to build your own gun, that like each of those parts that you're buying, you still have to get a background check, and there are serial numbers on all
okay,
of those
great.
Parts, so they
well,
can track
to me,
it. And
to
then,
me, like, so common sense, like,
right.
of course, like that makes so much sense. Why wouldn't you want that to exist?
Yes, and to go even further, he's directing the DOJ to issue a report on firearms trafficking, which hasn't been done since guess how long? Guess what year was the last time we did any sort of firearms trafficking?
I don't know. The 60s.
Sooner than
okay.
that.
Okay, the 90s.
2000.
Okay.
It's insane. So this, what this is it's a way to essentially track a gun kind of from owner to owner. Again, it's a very like legal thing. According to the website for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, they say firearm tracing provides critical information to assist domestic and international law enforcement agencies to investigate and solve firearms crimes, detect firearms trafficking, and track the interstate, and international movements of crime guns. All firearms traced must have been used or suspected to have been used in a crime. So again, there's a lot of parameters surrounding it, and but it's a way to be able to track who has their hands on these guns and things like that. And lastly, he is seeking to reduce stabilizing braces, which can turn a pistol into a more lethal rifle while not being subject to the same regulations as a rifle of the similar size may be. And Biden stated that the alleged shooter in Boulder used one of these devices mm-hmm. to kind of enhance his gun from being a regular rifle to something more dangerous. So,
you know, it'll yeah. be interesting to hear what gun advocates say about that in particular, because I feel
yeah.
like that was an argument. There was a mass shooting. See, we've had so many, I can't even remember which one it was. But there was a mass shooting a few years ago where that was the case. It might have been the one in Las Vegas where the shooter bought some kind of extension for their weapon that
mm-hmm.
basically turned it into a semi-automatic.
Right.
So a lot of people were saying he didn't have a semi-automatic weapon. That's not, you know, kind of using semantics to be like, that's not exactly what this is.
Right.
Combating people online who were saying that he had a semi-automatic weapon. So I'm curious to hear what those people will say about this law, because it's saying like, okay, we hear you. It's not a semi-automatic weapon. So we are actually going to put regulations on these parts that you can purchase then.
Exactly.
You
know?
So well, that'll be interesting.
From the article that I read, it was from on NBC News. They said that all of these announcements were kind of said with the anticipation of getting backlash from people who are gun advocates and for the NRA and things like that. So just like anything that happens in our government, just because the president says that's what's going to happen doesn't mean that we're going to get every single little last thing that they're saying. So it sounds like this is what he's fighting for. This is exactly what he wants to happen. But obviously, we don't have full control of what goes on right now. So there is going to be some give and take, and we just kind of have to wait and see what's going to happen with kind of the logistics of it. But the administration officials have stressed that Thursday's actions are the first step and that Biden is still pursuing legislative solutions to gun violence. So what I'm hoping that means is that this will be a first step and that there will be a continuation of fighting against those who want to make these changes stop, you know?
Right. Well, I think if anything, actually, I mean, it helps that we have a president in office who wants to work on these things. That's very helpful. But I think if anything is actually going to help us the most, it is that the NRA is actually struggling financially right now, which is very sad that that's the thing that's going to do it. But I think the less money the NRA has, the less sway they will have within the Republican Party, because they won't have as much money to be donating to people in the Republican Party who might not want to see these laws passed, giving them less incentive to fight against
for
these
laws.
I think the biggest hurdle is going to be the culture that has come up, that, you know, don't take my gun culture that the NRA has facilitated, fostered, carefully grown over the last couple of decades. They're going to be the biggest hurdle. The people themselves are going to be the biggest hurdle. But I am feeling hopeful, more hopeful than I have.
I mean, yes, in a long time. Hearing anything, hearing recognition and talking about any sort of change. Like, it's barely anything, but at least hearing that is something that we can talk about that feels constructive. You know what I mean? It's not just us talking to each other into the void, being upset and not knowing what to do about it.
Yeah.
And lastly, I did forget one last thing. Biden announced that he's nominating a man named David Chipman, who is a gun control advocate, to lead the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. So that would be really awesome. Yeah, it's someone who is for controlling all the madness, and I think that would also be a really great step in making sure that we have somebody with the right intentions that's in charge of that particular part of our government, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but again, they're going to have a lot of work cut out for them, but yeah, I was very pleased to have read this and to at least have like something to give to you all that wasn't just being pissed off about it, you know?
Yes, thank God. It feels like progress, you know?
It's something, you know?
It's something. It's better than nothing. That's where I'm at. That's where the state of my mind is, where I'm like, something is better than nothing, okay?
We're so hesitant now. Like, we're so jaded. Like, we're in, like, a really past, like, bad relationship, like, super jaded coming out of it. Like, I'm too afraid to be hurt. I can't put my full hope into somebody else quite yet.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, it's just like, we're still in such a place of deep division that you're going to have people who are so entrenched in the culture war of saying, I'm on this side. I'm on this team. And because I'm on this team, my team says guns good. So I'm going to go, you know, balls to the wall on like guns good team, you know, regardless of what you actually think about that, regardless of how sensible a lot of these actions actually are, regardless of the fact that they could save lives and make people safer in general. And that's what keeps me hesitant about being super excited, because the things that have caused that division still exist.
Right. I'm hoping that if we can't get every single thing that he just said or wants to do done, that if we can get any sort of change, if little bits and pieces, if we can start growing and changing through time,
agree.
And if this can be a start for something else, then I at least feel some comfort in that, because I think it would be really naive of us to think that a few months out of our presidency with Trump, that suddenly everything is going to be okay and everything is going to be better, especially when these divisions have been growing for hundreds of years, really, with, you know, the differences between what the sides believe and, you know, through the years has been different levels of, I guess, animosity toward each other. And right now it's particularly high. So if we can get any sort of progress to be made for future presidents and future government leaders to make even more change, then I'm happy, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So jaded. So jaded.
This next segment here, I wanted to talk about this last week, but we ran out of time and there was simply too much to discuss. But
I'm so happy you're going to talk about this.
It is too good to not discuss. And the thing is, when I say that, I do want to also say, you know, trigger warning right here. There are victims involved.
Yes.
This is a horrible thing that this person has been accused of. And that's not, we in no way on this podcast, you know us, we're not taking any kind of glee or joy in any of that part of
Definitely
this.
Definitely not. But I gotta say, I do take glee and joy in the fact that this man looks like such an idiot, especially when sexual assailants typically are not portrayed that way, especially white male sexual assailants, especially in our government. I feel like this is, like, even his side is making fun of him.
Well, it's a testament to how disliked he is.
Exactly.
There's a lot of statements from people on the right basically saying, like, no one's going to bat for him because people dislike him that much. Like, he is such an asshole. So, of course, we are talking about Matt Gaetz. We have talked about Matt Gaetz on this podcast before because he was one of the congressmen who was going to bat the hardest for Trump throughout the last couple of years. He is a GOP Florida representative and creepy motherfucker who we all knew was doing some shady shit. That man, look, I'm not about judging people on their looks, but there is something about that man's face. The first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know about you, buddy.
Do you watch SNL?
I do. I'm not totally caught up.
Okay, so Colin Jost and Michael Che, they do the Weekend Update.
I saw the Weekend Update
on him. Colin Jost said that Matt Gaetz looked like an amusement park caricature drawing of him, and I just, that killed me. I thought it was on point.
It's true. It's like, and I think Colin Jost is hot, but it's like Yes.
Oh, he has such a punchable face. I feel like I would meet him and I'd be like, leave me alone.
Could not disagree
more. Well, he's also married to Scarlett Johansson and she leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So I'm just kind of like,
She's not my favorite either, but
he's
not like Colin
hot.
Jost.
He's such a basic ass white boy. Wow. Are you serious? Well,
there's only one of us on this podcast who's dating a white boy, Madison. So I would just check that for a minute.
I would not call Max basic. That's the one thing. He is like the most boat shoe wearing, lacrosse playing, went to Yale on the rowing team white boy that I've ever seen in my life. And to me personally, I've never been attracted to the Ryan Goslings or the what I would consider to be like pretty boys. And I'm not trying to like judge anybody's looks, but to me, I see Colin Jost and I think he's like he's a wonderbread. Like he's just whatever.
Wow.
Sorry, listeners,
go ahead and weigh in on which side of this argument you fall on.
I would date,
but not the point.
I would date Michael Che in a heartbeat. He is fine.
I think they're both good looking, man.
And he's funnier,
I think they're
too.
Both good looking.
Colin Jost isn't as funny.
And I think they're both funny. But anyway, not the point. The point is not of these people. It's okay. So, Matt Gaetz, he does absolutely look like Colin Jost's evil twin, you know, like totally. Evil brother, right? You know, like everything's just like kind of out of whack. It's like if you put Colin Jost through a machine where like he was going to come out evil, like that's kind of what Matt Gaetz looks like.
Yes.
But
let's make that superhero movie.
At the end of last week, it was announced, or actually now it's been a while. It's been more than that. So not last week, the week before. It was announced that he was being investigated by the Justice Department over whether he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl and paid for her travel with him, according to three people who had been briefed on the matter at that point.
Yes, and so, traveling with someone who is underage for sexual reasons is considered sex trafficking and child trafficking.
That's so correct. So they're examining...
deep fucking shit.
Deep shit. So they're examining whether or not he violated federal sex trafficking laws. Like Madigan said, several federal statutes make it illegal to induce someone under the age of 18 to travel over state lines to engage in sex for money or for an exchange of something of value, right? And so he himself, because he can't shut up long enough to like dig himself out of holes, like he just digs himself deeper and deeper, he has basically said like, I think this is about generosity to ex-girlfriends or paying for trips or paying for hotel rooms. And it's like, dude, say less because you're admitting it right. I mean, he won't admit that he had a sexual relationship with someone under the age of 18, but you, everybody at the Justice Department is just listening to your interviews and going, and writing that shit down, because you are admitting that you have a history. Bare minimum, you're saying, I do have a history of doing this in relationships where I will pay for the travel or hotels or gifts to my quote unquote girlfriends.
Which would be so normal, but that's not what you're doing, you sicko.
Right. Right.
You know.
So it's not clear how he met this girl, but it happened about 2 years ago. So this girl would now be 19 years old. So how this came about is that he is under examination as part of a broader investigation. Also, for the record, he's 38 years old.
Gross.
But he is under examination as part of a broader investigation into a friend of his, a political ally of his, a local Florida man official named Joel Greenberg. So Joel Greenberg was indicted last summer on a bunch of charges. He is a massive scumbag. He was indicted on sex trafficking of a child and financially supporting people in exchange for sex, at least one of whom was an underage child.
In
2017, Matt Gaetz was the only member of Congress to vote against a law that gave the federal government more power and money to fight human trafficking. The only one. Like, even the other Republicans were like, dog.
If I've ever heard of a red flag, it is that. That is a, like, rhinestone bedazzled red flag, if I've ever heard of one.
Yes, it's like he's doing this shit out loud, like mask off. And I do think that whenever Trump was president, because he did everything he could to just like kiss Trump's ass and like be buddy, buddy, best friends with him, always backed him, went to bat for him constantly, that I do think he felt like he was kind of untouchable in that way, where it was like he could kind of do these things very blatantly. I mean, it's come out recently that, you know, his fellow members of Congress were just throwing this man under the bus, like left, right, and center, where they were saying, like, on the Congress floor, he was showing us naked pictures on his phone of women that he had had sex with on the Congress floor, and like talking about sex with women. So
that,
I
like,
think
makes my skin crawl. Mm-hmm, like, that is one of the grossest things that I feel like men do, is like sharing nude photos, talking about like that. It makes me feel so uncomfortable.
Well, you're at work, my guy.
Yes. And like, but just like the poor woman or girl that is on the other end of it that cannot state their side of the story. It's just so frustrating. I hate overhearing those conversations. It just makes my blood boil. But fuck it. You're on the Congress floor, dude.
Yes. You're getting paid via tax dollars. my guy. So it's unclear how investigators in the Greenberg case began examining Matt Gaetz, but they were very good friends. There's lots of pictures of them together. There was actually recently Greenberg and Gaetz.
Greenberg. Okay, got it.
Yes. And the two of them left a voice message for a woman who, she's a Democrat. I don't know if she's a congresswoman, a representative of some kind, from Florida. They left her a voicemail together. Like, it's clear that, like, these two fucking frat bros were, like, drunk in
their hotel. That's exactly what I'm picturing, yeah.
And they like, called, and they're, like, it was Greenberg being, like, hey, whatever your name is, we just wanted to call and say we're both thinking about you, and you're, like, such a fun lady. And you can hear Matt Gaetz in the background being, like, hi. We just think that you're so talented. It's so fucking weird.
Don't do that.
Yes. So Mr. Greenberg, the federal authorities seized his phone and laptop. They discovered evidence so his job includes issuing licenses. So he was creating fake identification cards for himself and a teenage girl.
Fuck that.
Fake IDs for himself and a teenage
girl. No, sir.
Experimenting with holograms used on permits for concealed firearms. So he was, like, basically forging documents.
Holy shit.
Looking into these things that could be forging documents, which, along with a sex trafficking charge, is pretty fucking scary.
Court documents. And the forging of documents and that is so scary, because that's also helping minors potentially travel with older men or older people without being detected. Like, that almost makes me worry that there's more.
Right, and this was part of his job, essentially.
Yes.
You know, like, it was doing these things. Like, issuing licenses was part of his job as a government official.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to be doing these things. And they discovered that he was targeting a girl who was between the ages of 14 and 17 at the time, and that he, quote, recruited and solicited her for sex acts in exchange for unspecified perks or favors. So very concerning, and this being BFFs with Matt Gaetz,
right,
is of course really
even more concerning.
It's just a huge red flag. Now, the irony to all of this is that Matt Gaetz has a very strong QAnon following.
Oh, no. Does he ever?
They love him. They love him. Some Matt Gaetz. He loves them back, right?
Gross.
And as we know, QAnon is a baseless conspiracy theory that's predicated, a huge part of QAnon is predicated on the idea that the government is run by a cabal of sex trafficking pedophiles,
exactly.
Right? Like, this is a benchmark in their belief system.
Right. They've even latched on to Save the Children foundations to kind of run under the radar a little bit. I just finished, they just put out the last episode of that, I think it's just called Into the Storm, QAnon documentary on HBO. It's so well done. It's so good. But yeah, they were talking about that, how, like, when the heat on them was getting too much, they would kind of latch on to these other charities and groups that look much more innocent in order to be like, look, we just care about taking care of children. And then that makes, you know, the good woman that actually does want to, you know, stop sex trafficking and stuff, listen to these people, and they get roped into this shit too.
Right,
it's
because
insane.
Sex trafficking is a real thing.
Yeah.
And no doubt, but, you know, it's not partisan. There are people on both sides of the aisle,
yes.
High-powered elites who are engaged in some shady shit. Jeffrey Epstein definitely showed us that.
Oh,
but
yes.
They're saying, you know, their whole thing is, like, specifically within government, and very often they're pointing to the Obamas, they're pointing to the Clintons as people who are engaging in this. This is a government official who is being charged with sex trafficking.
Uh-huh.
You would think that they're like, yes, see, we told you. We were right this whole time. But crickets.
Crickets.
They are not calling for him to be removed from Congress, arrested, or worse, as they have countless other politicians who are not under investigation for sex trafficking. Instead, the QAnon crowd appears to be defending Gaetz by alleging that the media and the Justice Department are persecuting him because he was one of President Trump's most fervent supporters.
Of course they are. Well, but that's,
and of course,
that's
Gates
the whole,
is like, yes, that's yeah, what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the whole community there, too, is being able to bend facts and situations uh-huh. into fitting their narrative, and the whole thing of, you know, there are no coincidences and all this stuff. There's this idea that they have that everything, even if it appears to be bad, somehow is still all within the plan to, like, their final goal or whatever. Right. It's, well, just, it's so much, it, to use your phrase, mental gymnastics, you know, yes. to get to that place. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and if everything can just be like, oh, well, it's a conspiracy, it's the deep state, it's the Justice Department, it's the Biden administration, like, you, nothing has to make sense because uh-huh. you can just keep pivoting to something else, which is what he's doing. And what Gates is claiming is happening is very confusing and complicated. He doesn't even understand. This is how you know that this man is not very smart, because it's come out recently that he kind of knew that something was coming down the pike. Like, he asked Trump before Trump left office for a blanket pardon, right? There are several people who are saying that he asked Trump for a blanket pardon, didn't say what it was for. But this was around the time when things were starting to kind of, like, ooh, maybe heat up, like, yeah. this might come back to you. So I feel like he had ample time to prepare himself for this moment. And yet he came out with the most convoluted, confusing, like, he got on Tucker Carlson's yeah. show and basically was saying that an ex-DOJ official and others have organized an attempt to extort his family for $25 million, threatening to smear his name if yeah. they don't pay up. So his family went to the FBI, he says, and has since been cooperating with the investigation into the extortion. But he says that as part of the investigation, his father wore a wire, and now the FBI won't release the tapes, even yeah. though they're working together. Like, none of this actually makes sense, and none of it really goes back to his relationship with this 17-year-old mm-hmm. at all. So when he was on Tucker Carlson to defend himself,
so much.
Yeah, this is Tucker fucking Carlson.
I know.
Right? Like, the most right-wing guy. It didn't go great, in part because, first of all, he didn't offer anything resembling a coherent explanation. Like I just said above, none of that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
And in part because there were a couple of times where it sounded like he was trying to rope Tucker Carlson into his defense. Like,
oh, yeah.
He kept saying, like, I'm not the only person on this screen who's been falsely accused of sexual assault. Am I right, Tucker?
And Tucker's like no,
nah,
my man.
My dude. Yeah, for real. And as soon as they got him off, so they went to commercial, they came back, Gates was gone, and Tucker Carlson said, if you just saw our Matt Gates interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted. I don't think that clarified much. I don't quite understand it.
Oh, my God. Like, I've never been on Tucker Carlson's side on anything in my entire life. I'm on his side in that moment alone for saying it. That yes. makes no sense, because it doesn't. Like,
well, the only reason he said that is because they tried to rope him into it, and he was like, I need to distance myself from this motherfucker.
Oh, totally. But, I mean, it was also true. Like, nothing he's saying makes any sense, but I think that what he's saying sounds so much like the mental gymnastics that the QAnon people would do, you uh-huh. know, that, or yeah. or a story they would come up with, or something that seems plausible to them that they think is going to make sense to the rest of the world, and it just doesn't, you know?
Right.
That's
yeah,
kind of what it sounds
watching
like to
the
me.
Interview. They're all watching the interview, and they're nodding their heads, and they're like, we hear you, fam.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Meanwhile, the rest of us, we're like, that, it literally doesn't make any sense, and you haven't really addressed
the
any
issue
of this.
At
and
hand,
just like,
yeah.
And in your story, the FBI is both the good guy and the bad guy. Like, they're helping you, but also not help. It's so confusing.
Exactly.
It seems as though Trump had to be held back from supporting Matt Gaetz publicly.
Of
like,
course.
His people were like, man, if he'd had a Twitter, he would have done it already. Like, his people wouldn't have had a chance to come in and, like, protect him from this.
Oh, my God.
Because they were like, do not say anything. They're like, don't support him. He's like, but I want to, he's my guy. And
he's
they were
my
like,
friend.
Don't do it. He did finally break his silence only to release a statement where he denied that Matt Gaetz ever asked for a pardon, although other people who were close to Trump at the time, at the end of his presidency, refute that and say that Matt Gaetz did ask for a pardon.
Yeah.
He did say that it must be remembered that Matt Gaetz has denied all the allegations against him. So I think that that was like the most that his people would let him say in terms of a defense.
I was going to say in terms of like supporting him, but it is a pretty clear support message.
Yes, yes. But anyway, this story is still unfolding. Yeah. We will absolutely talk about it more. But I just, it is just sweet karma to watch someone like this fall.
Yes.
Fall. Just fall and
keep falling.
Go splat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It is. And that's, you know, kind of like we said in the beginning of that segment, you know, obviously we don't take any glee in the pain and trauma that any of his victims have gone through. But there is something so satisfying because we don't, especially in sexual crimes, I feel like there's such a lack of justice that when we see someone just being made an ass of themselves, there is something so like good feeling about that, you know, like you're glad that they're being humiliated because they deserve to feel bad too,
right?
You know,
absolutely. So we've gone way over on time.
What is new, Keegan? What is
new? I know. Do you have anything else?
I don't have anything that needs to absolutely be discussed this week. So let's do your vaccine. What did you call it?
So I titled this, "So You're Vaccinated, Now What?"
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yes. So I'm just going to do this really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting vaxxed. Things are opening up. Some states have done away with mask mandates altogether. Ooh. And this shit is confusing as fuck. So what do the experts actually say about what you should and shouldn't be doing once you're fully vaccinated? So according to the CDC website, you are fully vaccinated 2 weeks after you have your second dose of either Pfizer or Moderna, or 2 weeks after you've had your single dose of Johnson & Johnson. If you do not meet these requirements, you are not fully vaccinated. You might be partially vaccinated, like Madigan or myself, but you are not fully vaccinated. If you are fully vaccinated, you can visit inside a home or private setting without a mask with other fully vaccinated people of any age, visit inside a home or private setting without a mask with one household of unvaccinated people who are not at risk for severe illness. You can travel domestically without pre or post travel test. You can also travel domestically without quarantining after travel. You can travel internationally without a pre travel test. Depending on the destination, you will want to look up the COVID requirements where you are going to ensure that you meet those. And you can travel internationally without quarantining after travel. What you should not be doing is visiting indoors without a mask with people at increased risk for severe illness from COVID-19, because you can still pass on COVID. Even if you get it and you're not showing symptoms or you're not getting very sick from it, you can still pass it on to people. So you want to avoid being around people who have severe illnesses or are severely high risk.
Yeah, that's the thing I feel like is most often misunderstood, is that like when you're vaccinated, you can still get other people sick. You know, it just means that you probably won't get sick, but you still have the capability of infecting others. So you just have to be aware of that.
And you can also get sick even after being vaccinated. It's just that the likelihood that the illness will be serious goes way, 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 way down. I mean, you are less likely to get sick. And if you do get sick, you are less likely to be seriously ill or be hospitalized.
Right.
Like, so you can still pass it on to people. So that is something to be aware of. And right now they are still saying avoid attending large gatherings, especially large gatherings indoors. So, you know, there are some things that are happening now outside, you know, smaller to medium sized gatherings, but avoid large gatherings, especially those that are indoors. they're still learning a lot of things about this vaccine. There are a lot of things that they still don't know. For instance, they don't know how effective the vaccines will be against variants of the virus. Early data shows that the vaccines may work against some variants, but could be less effective against other variants.
Yeah, they're saying, from what I've read on that, because I keep reading these articles where it's like, so you've gotten the vaccine, what about the new variants? And then my anxiety mm-hmm. goes crazy. And every time I read those articles, they're like, so far it looks like they're covering these variants. And the thing right. that is also really reassuring about that is that, like, if you think about our flu vaccine, they have to adapt that and change it a little bit and, like, tweak it every yes. year. Because it's always yes. a little bit different. So the thing that I have had to learn to at least give myself some semblance of, like, reassurance is that if there is a new variant, if there is something that changes with it, we have the basic vaccine and hopefully they'll be able to adjust it yes. as needed as yeah. quickly as possible in order yes. for us to be protected.
Yes. So they are still learning about this, though. But at the moment, yeah, I mean, it's all looking pretty good, but they just don't have enough data to be able to say
yeah.
that it's going to cover all the variants that might pop up here coming soon.
Yeah, COVID's possibly. Still a baby. We don't know that much mm-hmm. about it yet.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And they are still learning, like we just said, how well COVID-19 vaccines keep people from spreading the disease. So yeah. that's why they don't want you. I mean, because they just don't know. I mean, it could be a thing where it's just like, yeah, it's kind of okay for vaccinated people to be around people, but they don't know that yet. Right. They don't have enough data. They are getting more data every day as people become more vaccinated. They're able to kind of like gather more data that way. So, just something to keep in mind. And they're also still learning how long COVID-19 vaccines can protect people if you're going to end up needing boosters when those kinds of things. But I just wanted to highlight that right now because I know, especially in some parts of the country, there's a lot of indoor stuff opening back up. And that's in
even
in
here. Some parts of
the, yes, yes, even here, which here, I'm especially like, ugh. But the yeah. CDC even says, you know, it is different from place to place, right? There are places where it's going to be more safe than in other places. Los Angeles, I still won't eat inside.
It's just too, there's too many you know? People. It's too much. Yes, you're spaced out, but you're still in the, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why people would choose. Also, when it's like so beautiful outside, I'm like, why are you eating inside when now every restaurant has beautiful options for outdoor dining? Just do that.
Yes. Yeah. So just things to keep in mind. Stay safe as these vaccines are rolling out. I know how, you know, Maddie and I just said how much it can feel like, oh, we're so close to the finish line. Things are back to normal. They're not totally back to normal yet, right? We can feel hopeful. We can feel good that we are headed in that direction. But just continue to be aware and yeah. cautious as we move through this and navigate through this.
Yep. And as always, like, I mean, with all of this, I just think as long as you're always considering the other person and making sure that, you know, don't just focus on keeping yourself safe. But for me, it's always been about making sure that I'm keeping everybody else safe. And that makes me feel a little bit better about it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, if there's anything that you would like for us to discuss next week on our What's in the News episode, you can send us any of your ideas to our email at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. And you can also direct message us on Instagram and follow us there at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can chat with the other listeners on our Facebook group page or leave us a review on the Facebook business page if you haven't done so. And we most appreciate it when you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. So if you haven't done so, go head on over and give us a 5-star. All right. That's all we have for you today. With all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica. The heresies of Redolf Burntwein have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.